Well, once again, thank you, everyone. I want to just make sure we get a chance now. As Christians, this is really our high watermark when we get around the Bible. So this is the occasion. You know, we're going to go out and have lunch here in about less than an hour. But this is really our lunch meal, is it not? Isn't Jesus who said that? Love that when he came along in Matthew 4:4 when he said, "Man shall not live by burgers and hot dogs alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So I want to thank you. You notice we had David Liu leading the worship. Did you notice that? What a talented guy. And he preached last Sunday, too. I saw him on live stream. That was a very powerful message, and he delivered it so well. Probably one of the finest I've seen, and I've seen some good ones. So David back there, we want to thank, what a multi, and on the fifth Sunday, and that's why we're doing this, that somehow that Pastor Sean Minutella and Pastor David Liu says, well, let's just swap for a moment. I'll take the tech team, you take the worship team, and I think they have done a fine job. So we thank them for that. Yeah. Also, you might not be aware of this, but tomorrow is David Liu's birthday. Yeah. Yep, he's expecting twins, and it's pretty a lot happening in his life at 22 years of age. So amazing, just amazing. It's that Jesus culture makes him look vivacious, young, and fun. But let's take a moment now, because we are back at it with this message in regards to our series, that series, Living Beyond Our Setbacks. Living Beyond Our Setbacks. As we take a look at living beyond our setbacks, you know our theme for this year at Hope Chapel is go the extra mile. Let's go the extra mile. Some people are really kind of stalling out. And it's not an accident that you're here today. Maybe there's going to be, by and large, something that God set you free in a wonderful way, in a wonderful way. So we're grateful for your presence because we're going to believe the Lord brought you here. So part three of our series today's titled Living Beyond Guilt. Living Beyond Guilt. Start off, as you know, 2 weeks from today is Mother's Day. You who are online, just want to add you that to you. So I heard a cute story about a man, businessman, been away from his mom for a long time. Traveling back home, he said he needed to get a gift, so he stops by the cosmetic counter and says, "I think I need to get a small little gift for my mother. Do you have some perfume?" And so the cosmetic clerk came out, brought out a $90 bottle of perfume. He said, "You know, I'm thinking a little bit less than that." So she went back, brought out a $60 bottle of perfume. He said, "You know, that's still a little bit too much." So a little bit annoyed, she came back with a $15 bottle of perfume. And he said, "You know, I was wanting to see something a little cheaper." And so she reached over and handed him a mirror. Let's not be cheap, gentlemen. We're taking a look here, living beyond our guilt. And so sometimes we could be a little guilty even of that. You know, it's interesting as we begin here, it's been wonderful to just be and see the transformation that God does in the lives of people. But I have found that countless amount of people live and deal with guilt. It seems to be a common issue. It's part of our humanity. We just deal with guilt. I remember years ago when I pastored Banning Foursquare Church, that a high school girl came in after having an abortion, and she asked, "Will God ever forgive me? And do you think I could ever forgive myself?" She was dealing with terrible guilt. Had another lady who lived quite a wild life in those days, and she came into the office seeking counsel. She had been living with multiple men, drug abuse as well. She just came in with a terrible set of brokenness in her life. When we were done talking, she stood up and she says, "I bet you're now going to sanitize the seat I sat in." She felt so dirty because of her guilt. And I said, "That's not the case here." It's amazing how we need to be careful about If it's not something that we are allowing to rest in our own lives, sometimes people will put guilt in us or try to apply it. I worked with my father in the printing business for 10 years total, 8 years with him before he passed away. But I remember how he tried to put guilt on me. It's like I knew at the time at Wednesday that I was a volunteer lead youth pastor at Azusa Four Square Church. And I told my dad, hey, I've got to go. It's youth night tonight. And he would say, well, Paul, don't you go. You go right ahead. I'll take care of all this work. I can handle this. And it's like, oh, yeah. And typically it was the same thing. Well, you just go. You just go. Leave me with all this stuff. It's like, oh, but I knew I needed to do what I needed to do. And he understood later, but there's always that little bit of pressure. And then I tried to apply, you know, kind of learn things. I tried to apply that same pressure to my adult children. It doesn't work. Have you? It doesn't work. It's like, man, I'm just like my dad, rats. So you just, and that's for another topic. And you might want to get the book Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend. So it'll be helpful for you, the book Boundaries. But we need something here, and I'm believing that God wants to heal us and deliver us from guilt. Guilt can be something that's very powerful and controlling in our lives. Matter of fact, if it's unchecked, it could literally cause physical harm to you personally. Where people that allow guilt to reign in their lives, it hinders our relationships, and we don't want to give love. I find people that are feeling guilty, they don't give love, and they have a hard time receiving love because they have guilt in their lives. Sometimes that guilt reigns in their lives and starts to affect those areas, we call them stress hormones. Deals with areas in our cardiovascular system. Starts to happen to our lives in a physical way, or all of a sudden we have a gastrointestinal problem start to happen. It's amazing how guilt starts to penetrate even the physical realm of our immune system. I believe today Jesus does not want his people to live in guilt. So how do we go about doing that? Well, we have a simple outline. And remember, the answer is always Jesus. Can you just say Jesus? Jesus? Always Jesus. How do we get there? Well, let's pray first. Father, thank you for Jesus. Oh, man, you make life and the journey in life so easy when we welcome Jesus. So, Lord, by your power, just move through this message, but move mountains in some of our lives, because it's not going to happen except you, Jesus, do a miracle. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get our bulletin cards and make sure you write notes, because we want everyone, 100% attendance in life group this week. 100%. 100%. Don't walk out of here and just say, well, that was an okay message, and we forget it. So here we go. Number one, how do we deal with that? The element of guilt. Recognize some guilt is good. Let's just start there. Some guilt is good. Letter A on your note, guilt happens when we violate our conscience. Guilt happens. It's important. There's something in our DNA that God created in every person in all continents throughout all of human history. We've got a conscience that will help us recognize when we violated that element between right and wrong. That's important. We're glad that that's there. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 1, you can write it down, says it's that way. Everyone has an ability to recognize there is a difference between right and wrong. Then the Bible talks about it, how we are to preserve our conscience. You need that. So I'm going to begin here. Let's take a look. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, reading from the New Living Translation. But thank you for who are watching, maybe in your break room. But here we go. It says, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Now let's take a look at that for a moment, because when you deal with feeling like some of the elements within our own world, people have lost some of their own awareness between right and wrong. You'll look just chapter 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. It says, these people are hypocrites and liars, and their conscience are dead. Now, when we take a look at people whose conscience are dead, they no longer hear this voice saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Can that happen? It does happen. It's incredible. I've sat with people and said, why did you go on with that extramarital affair? Didn't you ever feel that could be wrong? And they typically would say, the first week I felt crummy, I felt disgusted, and then something just stopped. And I continued on with that. Something happens when a person blows past their conscience and they don't pay attention anymore. So when we lie or steal or devalue or violate others, instinctively this detection area called our conscience starts to be minimized or even go away. We end up having a society of sociopaths. So we have to be careful about that. But it's happening in our society. It's happening. So guilt and emotional pain, we need to feel. We need to feel there is good pain. We need to feel that to let us know we don't want to do that again. We don't want to go there again. It's kind of like the physical pain. You touch a hot stove, you know, I don't want to touch that stove again. It's the same with the emotional pain called guilt, and that's important. But people ignore that emotional pain, and they go off into substance abuse, or they'll go into other areas, possibly like pleasures or busy schedule, try to suppress it, try to move on from that. That's just us. That's just life. That's the way people work. We have to be careful about that. But it's like your check engine light on your dashboard. If that red light goes on, moo, that says check under the hood. Something needs to be observed. Guilt, some guilt is good. Letter B, guilt comes from the Holy Spirit. We're talking good guilt. I'd like to say it's more the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but oh, I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not only to lead us and to guide us and to empower us, but also to bring conviction, or else we'd be lost. But let's see here for a moment, see what John 16 says in verse 8. John 16, verse 8, and when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. So part of what the Holy Spirit does is allow people to realize we need Jesus. What a blessing it is to feel conviction. There would be people in our society and are currently that never come to Jesus because they say, why do I need to have forgiveness of sins? They have no idea. They don't see that. They need the Holy Spirit. There's times I'm saying, Lord, give the downtown sector repentance. Grant them repentance. Allow them to see their need for Jesus. So please don't see the Holy Spirit as a role of as a negative one. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit. Because sin, S-I-N, sin, brings death. That's what Romans 6:23 says. The wages of sin is death. I've literally sat down with certain individuals and couples said, listen, let's do it the right way, even though it's going to be hard, possibly even risk, but at least you'll have God on your side and sin won't be in the mix. Because have you ever seen somebody or people that are not living a proper approach and that sin just devastates everything, not just the one person. Everything's affected. Everything's affected. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for saying, let's give that up. Guilt that comes from the Holy Spirit results in life and transformation. Oh, it's so good. It's wonderful. And it brings back intimacy with God. It brings blessing and joy. So there are some guilt that the Holy Spirit brings or conviction. It's very important. Remember, conviction's different than condemnation. The devil will bring condemnation to you and me. I've gotten that plenty of times. The same creepy demon that caused me to succumb to that will also banter me to say, you're doomed. Watch out. That's condemnation. No hope, no direction. Let's take a look at number two. Unresolved guilt is destructive. We talked about that. But let's take a look at that, see how that works. Letter A, living in our guilt is destructive. We have Psalm 38. Psalm 38, verse 4. It's interesting, as the King David writes this, my guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. Let's move just a little bit further back, Psalm 32, verse 3. He says, when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. So I use these two verses. Take a look at that, because not only is the psalmist saying, man, it affects me emotionally, but it also affects me spiritually. And David was living in guilt. King David, you know, the little shepherd boy who took out the big giant? He was living in guilt. So if you were to read the story later after lunch, you go ahead and write down 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. It's a story of the big collapse of David when he observed a pretty woman married to another man, Uriah, and he, as king, felt he was entitled to anything and anyone, and comes and has sexual relations with her. She ends up pregnant. He tries to work out a deal. Wasn't working. So he ends up intentionally killing this woman, Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Then he lies about it. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. It's sure nice to live in truth, isn't it? Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I've had, and I've tried myself. I remember my younger years, I'm not only lying, then I have to have another lie to cover that lie, and then another lie to cover that lie. And before I knew it, I was the biggest liar in town. I don't want that anymore. I quit being a liar. You guys are terrible at liars, too. You guys, you're not good at it. I've seen some of your lies. Like, really? Come on. Let's be creative here. So it's important we get a chance, and it's vital, because it's like that idiolite. We damage ourselves when we blow past those warning signs. But let me do another contrast for you, because the idea of living in our guilt is destructive. Let's take two individuals. We got Peter, we got Judas Iscariot. You take Peter and Judas Iscariot, we know both of their stories. Peter denies Jesus three times. Both had epic failures. And Judas completely turned Jesus in. But it says in Scripture that Peter recognized what he did, felt very remorseful about that, repented, and was restored. Judas Iscariot felt very remorseful about what he was done, but his was, I feel very embarrassed by what I have done, and went out and hung himself. Two separate outlines that are different in that. So you can see here, extremely different. So handling it the right way is vital. Letter B, our ongoing struggle with sin can be destructive. Now, it's important that we get a chance. I picked this line because the Apostle Paul is my hero, because he's dealing emotionally with his own setbacks and his guilt. As we read Romans chapter 7, take a look at his emotions, his anguish, and his feelings about this. But let's look here for a moment in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. He says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I invariably end up doing what is wrong. It's interesting, because I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sin nature, I'm a slave to sin. Let's take a look for a moment, because I don't want to live like that, he's literally saying. I have related to that. I'm sure there are many of us that could feel the same way. The struggle causes, really, that struggle right here causes humanity without Jesus to respond in different ways. And let's write this down. Here we go. Maybe you might find somebody that's living that, to struggle with their epic failures coming and going. We deal in one. First, we try to live in denial of the struggle. Now, I'm not struggling. That's how the world will handle that. It's interesting. Write that down. They try to live in denial of the struggle. Now, society's doing that right now. There's no right or wrong. It's really, morality is basically decided by the individual. Everything is relative. So denying that there's anything of a feeling of guilt, well, that they suppress that. We're not going to deal with that. Matter of fact, we'll try to even pass laws to say that's okay. That's okay. But the problem is there's still people that are feeling guilty. They're living with guilt. So mental health crisis is really on the rise. We have suicide rate that is increasing. We have people that are crippled by anxiety and fear. There is political chaos going on because of the topic that we're dealing with. And we're probably more racially divided than ever before. Another way people deal with guilt is that we blame the struggle on someone else. We blame the struggle on someone else. It's not me. I'm feeling something's going on, but it's not my fault I'm feeling this way. It's somebody else's fault. So we blame religion because that makes me feel guilty. We'll blame a skin color. We'll blame our history. We'll blame the oppression of capitalism and our country. These are very real topics that are out there. We'll blame a political party. We'll even blame the police. And we will blame anyone and anything as long as we don't blame ourselves. So when we see how our society is dealing with this, no wonder why people are dealing with guilt still. The third area is that we live with the struggle. It's kind of like a Romans 7. I'll struggle in and I'll struggle out. But we have that, and that's what's going on, and we just get stuck with guilt. But even as followers, we can live in oppression. And I believe, and I know you do too, Jesus doesn't want us to live that way. He wants to set us free from guilt. That's why he came. So we live in a constant war in our minds, agreeing with God's word, yet we still feel elements of guilt. Why is that? Is there a fourth way? Yes. Let's take a look. Let's go back to Romans chapter 7, verse 25. It says, thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't you love that? It's right there, pretty plain. Take a look. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Remember, I told you at the beginning, the answer is always Jesus. It's always Jesus. It's important. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm sure. But why are we still feeling guilt? Why is that happening? Well, let's take a look at the path then. Our third and final point, follow God's path beyond our guilt or your guilt. Letter A, Jesus created the pathway beyond our guilt. Jesus is the one. I like what Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says. Here we go, and we deal with that. Let's look for a moment here. I'm in verse 13 of Colossians 2. Are you following along with me there at home? Thank you. Focus in, because this is crunch time. This is where we're believing the Lord will set us free in those areas that he's wanting to set us free on. Colossians 2, verse 13. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what real life begins, by giving Jesus our sin. And that with that comes the guilt. I also like specifically Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation. But I still find there can be some people that are still dealing with that guilt and condemnation. We cannot successfully move beyond our guilt without Jesus. We cannot. You cannot. In essence, every religion of this world is trying to get along to suppress guilt without Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a religion without Jesus? I can't imagine. How do they do that? It becomes a point of a human way and approach to try to make us feel better so that somehow God can accept us. That's what other religions, but not so with Christianity. You're here where we value what Jesus has done, and it's all about Jesus. So your pathway beyond your guilt starts with a relationship with Jesus. That's where it's at. So Jesus created the path. Letter B, how do we follow Jesus beyond our guilt? I'm glad you asked. Thank you. Letter A, very simple, receive Jesus. You cannot move any further without receiving Jesus. You can believe in him, and there are some, maybe some, who are, I believe in Jesus. I believe he existed. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Because you know that James 4:17 says, even the demons believe in Jesus, and they tremble at his name. But that's more than some people. They don't even tremble at the name of Jesus. So believing is not enough. You've got to receive Jesus. That's important when we get a chance to say, man, I receive him. I want him. It's important. How do you do that? You just tell him, Jesus, I believe in you and what you have done for me on the cross, taking my sin away. Matter of fact, let's do that just for a moment. It's about that simple. Let's just bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. And just repeat to the Lord, not to me. And just say within your heart, Jesus, I believe in you. And I accept your forgiveness. Take all my sins away. And come into my life to stay forever. Amen. So it's important. Some people say, well, I've done that. And I'm still struggling with guilt. There are people like that. It's legit. They're still struggling with guilt. Maybe that could be you. Let's deal with another point. It's interesting. Develop the habit of confession. Develop the habit of confession. When we take a look at something like that, I like what 1 John chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 8, says verse 9. Develop a habit of confession. Why? Because we are in such a habit of daily dealing with sin. The Bible says if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness or wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. So it's important we take a look at that. Confession is not, when we take a look, it's not trying to make us further feeling guilty. That is not it. We don't confess to say, okay, well, I confess, I pull my arm behind my back, I give, uncle. Man, it's to get rid of that guilt and to be set free. It's a wonderful thing. I love what Psalm 51 verse 2 says this, wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin. That's what we're doing, and that's what we're believing God to do. So confession is not trying to make us feel guilty. We're really wanting to say, Lord, deliver me from that element of guilt. When we confess our sins, we've never had to wonder about forgiveness. It's a guarantee. God's ready to forgive us. It's important. He's ready to forgive us. 1 John 1:9, there's been very great battles going on in my own personal prayer time when I know that I've grieved the Holy Spirit or possibly grieved you. Lord, forgive me. And yet I still feel guilty. And I'll have to cite 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful. Don't you love faithful people? Oh man, you can always count on a faithful person. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness or all unrighteousness. And I've literally had to say, Lord, I believe you've forgiven me. Because that battle rages on. You're not forgiven. You've done that 3 times in 1 day. You're not forgiven. God's faithful. God's faithful. And I've had to memorize that and contend for that. And I get breakthrough. And it has much more to do about God and his loving kindness and mercy than it is anything to do with my abilities. So it's important. Practice of confession daily because we struggle with sin daily. So don't hide that stuff. Don't hide that stuff. Nothing gets uncovered if you hide it. But nothing changes either. It's important. Nothing changes. But if you speak that, it gets healed and forgiven. Very important. Let's take a look. Finally, receive his forgiveness. Because some of you are thinking, well, I do confess my sin, but I still feel guilty. Well, it's important that we get a chance to forgive sometimes ourselves, but receive his forgiveness, his unfailing love for you daily. Have a daily time with that. Often this is the missing piece. Often this is the missing piece. Like receiving Jesus, we don't receive his forgiveness and his loving kindness. You don't. I don't. And guilt continues to be a barrier. Your guilt continues to be a barrier to receive God's forgiveness. Your guilt, and God says, I don't want you to live that way. Take a look at Psalm 32, verse 2. It says, yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. What joy. You know, that's amazing because that's how David was feeling when he was confessing his sin. Take a look at verse 5, same chapter, Psalm 32, verse 5. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone. That's what we're going for right now. All my guilt is gone. So we can feel so unworthy of such forgiveness. That creates barriers. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Truth is, we really aren't worthy. But Jesus, just his unfailing love, so great. I sense his love for us right now in this room. I sense his love for you right there. It's amazing how the Lord wants to reach and help us and deliver us from areas of guilt. So how many times we feel like we're just not able to be forgiven? Receive his forgiveness. Receive his unfailing love. He's here. He wants to set us free. It's wonderful to be able to experience that. Want to take that moment right now. We're going to actually go back into singing, but I want to pray for you and us right now. Let me do that for you. Father, I want to thank you. Lord, for those who are struggling to receive your love and forgiveness. Lord, that issue, as you know, is so common. It's a big deal. And Jesus, thank you for coming for that. Lord, may every one of us walk out. May those who are with us by live stream just finish today out guilt-free. Set free from that. Lord, for those who are here with us and they say, you know, I haven't felt guilty in a long time. I'd like to have those areas of my lost conscience somewhere. It's gone away. I don't feel remorseful about anything. I don't get budged about anything. I want my awareness of doing wrong to return to me. Lord, heal my conscience. Restore that area in my life. Lord, help me, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take an opportunity. We're going to sing, but I do want to prepare your hearts. We do want our prayer wall to come up here, and I want to invite you. When I come back, let's get everything we can to just say, I want to have somebody pray with me because I want guilt to be completely gone. I'm confessing to you no more guilt. Because of Jesus. It's important. It's important. I know you could probably go and have it at your seat or go home, but there's something powerful in agreement. So as we start to worship the Lord, I'd welcome our prayer wall up just to assemble themselves up front. Let's stand to our feet right now. Let's give the Lord the honor due his name. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org?
Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.